All right. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May His grace and peace and mercy be upon each and every one of us as we extend that to others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before You this morning and we just thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. Lord, we thank You for all that You do for us, Father. Lord, we just ask for Your help, God, to live our lives in this world, Father, that we may extend that grace and mercy to the world, Father. Lord, help us be disciples of You, Lord. Fill us with Your Spirit. Give us wisdom as we open Your words, Father. Reveal Your heart to us, Lord. Again, we just thank You. Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, begin in verse 14. Had a conversation this week, said it many times, and had a conversation this week about it, about a statement that's in the in many messages and on the website, that faith is the hardest work you'll ever do. And I just want to talk a little about that this morning. And I want to begin here in this verse that we're talking about. Verse 14 says, "Remind them of these things, and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene." All right. First of all, I want to point out that in the King James, it says, in verse 15, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. And I want to basically talk about that. Study to be approved unto God. We have in this world and in the study has become the epitome of religion, of Christianity. Whenever someone first discovers the Bible, most of the time they just devour it to find out how much they can learn. I've seen countless men who lived ungodly lives, and somebody leads them through a prayer and they give them a Bible and they just start reading the Bible, and the first thing they want to do is just learn about prophecy or learn about all the things about God or learn about how His grace and His mercy and all of those things, and just learn and learn and learn. And I know most people want to pull their hair out whenever I say this, that knowledge in that way is not the answer. That's not what God wants from you. People say, well, do you just want everybody to be stupid? No. But the point of the Bible is not to teach us to know all there is. We can't know all there is. We don't know how to know all about God. What God wants us to do, to be diligent to present yourselves approved unto God. This book is a book that simply teaches us how God wants us to live. Not what He wants us to know. Not how to be religious. Not how to just go to church. But He's trying to teach us how to live. And many of the times and what people, they begin to study and they find some little phrase or some verse and then they build their whole case on theology. God has not called us to be theologians. One of the biggest problems in Christianity is people's theology or their understanding of the Bible has outpaced or outran their lives. It's outran how they live. Their knowledge and their understanding of the Bible has far exceeded the simple way they live. And so people have taken these verses and they've studied to show yourself approved. Get in that Bible and learn all the facts about it. Instead of get in the Bible and see how God wants you to live. How He wants you to live. One of the first arguments that people receive when they start reading the Bible is to be careful because works won't save you. And so that puts people on this, just like it, but avoid, verse 16, but avoid worldly and empty chatter. I don't think it's just talking about the weather that he's talking about. I think there's a lot of worldly and empty chatter about God, about religion. Worldly and empty chatter. The Bible's not being spoken to the guys down at the coffee shop. The Bible is being spoken to Christians who are probably all their lives, all they're doing is devoting their lives to talking about God, talking about religion, talking about theology. Worldly and empty chatter. That's who he's talking to. He's talking, be diligent to present yourself. What is your responsibility in life? Is so that you can present yourself approved to God. That is our only goal in life. Religion has completely forgotten about that. You believe different than I do. I can't have anything to do with you. Knowledge, the Bible says, puffs up. Knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge creates you, turns you into somebody that knows more than somebody else. And it blows you up like a balloon. And then you can look at everybody else that doesn't know quite as much as you do. Just look in the world. People that go off to college, they get a big degree. What do? When they see someone that's uneducated and dirty? They're uneducated and dirty. Knowledge puffeth up. Forget about the world. We're not talking about the world. That's the way they operate. Christianity operates the exact same way. You can't preach here. You haven't been to college. You don't have a degree. Puffs up. It puffs up. Instead of reading this book, just let God talk to me and how I ought to live. And how I need to be able to present myself as a workman. not being ashamed. Only then do we have any right or any business trying to talk to anybody else. What amazes me. What amazes me. It doesn't matter where you go in the world, and you just try to challenge someone to look at themselves. Our responsibility as preachers is not to condemn everyone, but just to hold up a mirror in front of people, to let them see themselves. And when you try to do that, everyone comes up and tries to explain the Bible to you and tries to tell you what they know about the Bible. I don't know how many people, everyone we've talked to in all over the world, very, very seldom do you find someone that actually wants to know, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to be saved? Not most of the time, all you get is, you're doing this all wrong. You don't know. Oh, you're just messing things up. You've got to show love. You've got to show all these things. They know, and they come up and try to teach. Everyone wants to be a teacher. The Bible says, James says, try to be a master over everyone. But that's what this whole world is trying to do. The whole realm of Christianity wants to be a teacher. And the majority of them have nothing to teach. But the same old worldly chatter and endless drivel of their doctrines that are hollow and worthless, meaningless. Instead of applying this book to me. Oh, it's easy to look out and see everybody else's problems. That's not what God's told us to do. To judge everyone else and make sure they measure up to my standard. It's for me to look at myself and judge myself. Verse 14, he says, not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. That's what I wanted to talk about, this statement that I said. Faith is the hardest work you will ever do. If we just look at the Bible here in Romans. The theologians love Romans. They love to go to Romans chapter 3. But let's go to Romans chapter 2. Verse 6. Let's begin in 5. 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. Revelation, two different places in the last two chapters of Revelation, talks about the judgment day, and every man will be judged according to his works. But, well, Romans chapter 3 says that, or Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says, we're not saved by our works. And so, everything is thrown out that the Bible says, because if you work for your salvation, you can't be saved. People are scared to death of that word works. But the Bible says Every one of us will be judged according to our works. It says that present yourself approved unto God. And they talk about it. It's all about faith. And they wrangle about these words. Works, faith. What is it? They say it's not by works. But then you go to James. Chapter 2. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? Question he's asking, if you have faith and no works, can that faith save you? The answer is no. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone will say, look what he's having. But someone will well say, chatter, endless chatter, talking about words. But someone will well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. That well say there, that is well said. It's not just chatter. But there's always, the point I was trying to make is there's somebody always, whatever you say, there's someone comes up with another answer or another question that brings another question, and it goes on and on and on. It's the point I'm trying to make here. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. This is the point that I'm trying to make. You believe God is one, you do well. The demons believe that. You believe that you ought to practice the Bible, you do well. The demons know that's the right way. We can have all of this knowledge and believe and do well. But the devils know all of that too. But you are willing to recognize, you foolish fellow. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Okay. We get the idea, okay. Then some people say, yes, our works are evident, but our faith is just a result of our works. Or our works are just a result of our faith. And so there's this argument back and forth. Goes right back into an argument of theology. But then the Bible says, and it goes right into Abraham. You know, whatever your theology is, it's probably hindering you. It's probably hindering your faith. Because it's gone so far ahead of you, you've got it all figured out, it's probably hindering you. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 11. This is called the faith chapter. Verse 4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain." What did Abel do? He offered a better sacrifice than Cain. He offered a sacrifice out of a pure heart. But he did something. Whatever we believe, we live by knowing that the way that you live, the choices that you make, are your choice. When you see someone in need, do you think about, well, is this going to be faith or works? Is this going to be faith or works here that I'm about ready to do? Boy, I don't know. I better study about this. Or do you see someone in need and you either help them or you reject them? What good is your theology whenever you see someone in need and you reject them? It's absolutely worthless. And what does it matter about your theology if you see someone in need and you help them? Where is faith? What is faith? Go down here to Noah, verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household." How did he do it? By faith. What did he do? Let me see. Is this going to be works or is this going to be faith? What should I do? How should I figure out whether this is works or faith? Wait a minute. Am I going to build this ark because I have faith? Or am I going to build this ark because of my works? Oh, I better go study about this. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to go study about it. And guess what? He's not building an ark. By faith. He heard God. Okay, we've got to have that all figured out. No. God told him to do something. God spoke to him. "It's going to rain. I'm going to destroy the earth. Prepare yourself. Go build an ark for the salvation of mankind." Noah went out and got his hammer and his saw and his axe and started chopping down trees. And I'm sure with every stroke, "Oh, is this works? Is this faith?" No, he saw a job to do and he went and did it. And we, today, analyze Noah, Abraham, all these men of faith who went out and were acting their faith, were living their faith, not studying about it. And we analyze them like some TV sportscaster about last night's ball game. That's where most Christianity is today. An easy chair referee. Looking at how the men of faith and analyzing all that they did and sitting by watching it instead of out being it. Living it. We're analyzing, studying, searching for truth. Oh, excuse me, poor man. Get out of my way. I'm too busy. I'm looking for truth. Excuse me, someone needy right in front of me. I'm too busy looking for truth. I've got to find an answer for... I heard somebody was working for their faith. I heard somebody over there was doing something. I better go after them. Tell them that they're doing it all wrong. Wish I could just find a Noah somewhere out there trying to build an ark. I'd go out and preach to him. Let him know that this was all wrong, what he's doing. He's got to have, don't he know that he's got to have faith in God before he can do that? Sounds ridiculous. But that's what Paul was talking about this useless chatter, worldly chatter. People arguing about all of these things. And nobody doing anything. Faith. You know, we see these men and they lived their whole lives, and yet these examples of their faith, this time of their faith, really being put to the test. You know, as long as everything's rolling for Noah or Abraham, well, they might have faith and they might not. They might feel their faith. They might see their faith. But their faith isn't tested until God speaks and says, uproot everything you've done, uproot everything you're doing. I got a new plan for your life. Oh, but Lord, I've got my church going just great here. I've got my family all fixed up. I've got everything in order. Because of faith, you know. I've kept my nose clean. I haven't gotten in trouble. I'm teaching everybody in my family not to be in trouble. Got it all rolling here. Leave where you're at and go over here. Drop everything and go over here. That's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Because that's what real faith is. Noah, living in a world, raising his family, going along fine here. He's not involved in all the wickedness that the world's involved in. God says, I'm going to destroy this. Go build an ark. Noah says, I am not involved in what the world's doing. God, don't you see? I'm not involved with all this sin that's going on in the world, this fighting, killing, and corruption. I'm not involved in that. Can't you see that? Oh, yeah, okay, all right, that's fine, go ahead. I see you have faith. I see you got faith. Is that the way it goes? God tells us what He wants and then walks away. God does not beg us to follow Him. He doesn't have to beg. We're the ones that need to be begging. We're in trouble. God shows us a way and says, walk in it. These men who had faith, they had day-to-day lives and they had struggles. But when it came right down to it, their faith was shown when God said, "Leave it and follow me." You know, it's easy for us to say that we believe a lot of things. You know, among the basic, simple teachings in the Bible, it's easy for a woman to say, "Yeah, I wear a covering in submission to my husband." It's easy to say that and then go argue with him or go correct him or go fix something that he's done wrong or tell someone how stupid he is. It's easy to say all those things, but the test. You know, it's easy to say we're non-resistant. We love our neighbors. It's easy to say we don't resist evil. Till someone comes along and takes the dearest thing in your life to you. Then what do you do? Then what do you do? Do you really believe it then? You know, we can flutter around on the outside, skirt around the outside there. Oh yeah, my neighbor owes me $5. I'm not going to ask for it back. My neighbor borrowed something over there. I can see it over there in his garage. Wish he'd bring it back, but I'm going to believe Jesus. Just the day-to-day, going through life. It's easy to say we believe all those things. But when somebody touches the dearest thing to your heart, what do you do about it? We better study our Bible again. That's where faith comes in. God answers my prayers. It means I've got faith. You know, I'm not so sure about that. Most of our prayers are for things that make our lives more convenient. When you don't have nothing and the Lord helps you, yeah, that's a real blessing. We hardly even get to the place where we need God anymore. I was reading in when Jesus was being tempted. Jesus came in this world to save this world, to deliver this world. And Satan said, "If you'll just bow down before me, I'll give it to you. I'll just give it all to you." What's interesting, just one thing I thought about is, it says, "He gives it. I have the power to give it to whomever I will." It's one thing I don't think we recognize or we don't realize. This is Satan's kingdom. And he has the power in this world to give it to whomever he will. It should scare us to death when everything's going our way. And we're growing and getting bigger and richer. And it's not God giving it to us. This is Satan's kingdom. And he gives it to whoever he will. You don't think those people that become superstars do it because they're talented, do you? I mean, all you have to do is listen to some rock music and it's just, those people have no talent at all. But people just flock after them. I mean, the Pope was here this week and it's amazing. He's supposed to be the victor of Christ or the manifestation of Christ. And he's persuading kings. Just the exact opposite of Jesus. Jesus despised and rejected among men. This man exalted. The kings and presidents roll out the red carpet for him. Whose world is this? When Christ came into it, he lost. We don't like to lose. We like to win. I don't like to lose. I like to win. But the winners in this world aren't winning just because there's a lot of smarter people in this world that don't have nothing. There's a lot of brilliant people that have nothing. And then someone comes along and they just win everything they touch. This is Satan's world. And he's got them deceived. Just following all kinds of things. But the man that lives by faith, I'm going to say, God, here it is. Job had it. Did he have faith while everything was rolling for him? Yeah. I believe he did. But then when it was taken away, was when we saw his faith. What do we do when we're tested? Do we believe what Jesus taught? Whenever we hear and just see the simple teachings of Jesus and just act on them. Whether it's easy, whether it's hard, I am going to believe Jesus. I'm going to take this book and examine my life by it and put it into practice. That's a workman that's going to be approved by God. It's not that I can answer all your questions. It's not that I can just question everything that comes along. It goes past all of that. So many of the conversions in this world are just conversions to theology. Just becoming biblical. You know, that's the big cry among a lot of people. Is it biblical? Well, their God has become the Bible. Instead of letting the Bible transform them and their lives. You know, people, they sit in a dead religion all their lives. And finally, they see the Bible and they come out. I mean, and they learn theology. Their lives don't change at all. They leave some false group, join some other false group that has a better theology, thinking that now I'm in a safe place and can do that as faithless as the devils. Just having a straighter theology. A.W. Tozer said, you can have your theology as straight as a gun barrel. But a gun barrel just as empty. No bullets. And that's Christianity to a T. All these men that had faith, the heroes, the men we look up to, the men we admire in the book, in the Bible, are the men who had their faith shook to the very core. I don't know what I believe, but I know what's right. And I'm going to have to lay down everything. That song we sang the other night, I will praise Him. My goals, my ambitions, my life at His feet in ashes lay. That is horrible to go through. That's horrible to go through. Job sitting on a pile of ashes, scraping his sores. His wife told him to go kill himself. Where's your God? You know, if you read on through there, you begin to, and you listen to what Job's saying, I think he's wondering where his God is. Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's not this mental explosion of sunshine. That's not what faith is. Faith is absolutely not being able to see anything but building an ark. These are the men that we hold up. It's not the person that's all trying to sell you something with a big smile on his face, telling God will give you anything you want, that people say are full of faith. But yet that's what this faith, these men in the Bible, went through it. People rejecting them. People hating them. The end of the chapter, some were cut asunder. Some were went through the fire. Some had to leave everything naked, living in a cave. Let's just read that. Verse 32, for what shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. And all these theologians are examining these men, trying to make it fit. I wonder if they had faith. I wonder if they had works. They're not worthy to even have this roll off of their tongues. The names of these men, even rolling off of their tongues, is a disgrace. Because they're nothing like them. They're of two different worlds. But they're theologians. They're biblical scholars. They're biblical men. We live biblical. And aren't worthy to dust off the shoes of one of these naked men laying in a cave, tortured, tempted. Men of whom the world was not worthy. The worldly chatter, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, wonder where their faith was. Wonder where their faith was to have to wind up living like that. I'll guarantee you, the people that are arguing about faith and works would be arguing with these people right here. Instead of being one of them. And all these having gained approval through their faith. What was their faith? Their faith was just going through it. Their faith was hearing God and acting upon it, no matter what the multitude said. They were applying the Word of God to their own selves, while the scoffers and the mockers and the biblical theologians, the people who lived biblically, just walked on right over them. Because God has provided something better. All these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. God has provided something better. Let's go back to our text here, Timothy. Second Timothy. Remind them of the, verse 14 again, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of hearers. 90% of Bible study and argument is ruin, is useless and leads to the ruin of its hearers. Maybe more than that. Useless and leads to the ruin of its hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. People look at that. Accurately handling the word of truth. Yes, I can take this verse, this verse, this verse, this verse, and it all fits. Set and done. You're wrong. My theology is right. Because I've accurately divided the word of God. And I'll die and go to hell with all the rest of the world. Accurately handling the word of God is taking it and believing it and doing it, being it, being rejected and despised among men. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. What has spread like gangrene? Well, may the Lord add His blessing. Just go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, again we thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Help us do Your will and bring glory to You. Again, I just want to thank You for Your goodness. Help us, Lord, to live Your life, Your word. Again, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to clear up one thing here that I read in James. where it says, but someone will, may well say. Used that out of order there. James did say that someone will well say. It wasn't just an argument. I was wrong on how I presented that. Hadn't read it out. You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. He's not spelling that out for a theology. He's just answering an argument of someone who was, you got works, you got faith. Is your faith by your works or is your work by your faith? What? He's answering this argument. And someone did well say, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to live this. And you can see my faith by the way I live. He's actually arguing, or he's actually facing the same garbage that's going on today. Actually facing the same garbage. And he's answering it by, I'll be among those that are cut asunder, wandering about, living in holes of the earth, being despised, being mocked, and being rejected. And you can talk about your faith all you want. Forget it. I'm not even going to talk with you. I'll show you my faith. Instead of have to argue it with you. Okay. Clear that up. Anything else I might have left questionable? Biblical smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
It's just.
Friday night, the bike threw the barbecue. The boy that was after me trying to. He said, "Do you? I mean, you're warning like that. There, it just looks like judgment to me. I mean, do you do anything that we're really supposed to be doing? I mean, just to be a human being," he said, "to be a human being like we're supposed to be, are you feeding the poor, being kind, and all these things he mentioned?" And I just told him twice. I said, "I wish you'd just come live with me a little bit. Come walk with me a little bit." He just started grinning at me. He wasn't expecting that. But
right.
There's, let me show you.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, I told him, I hear what you're saying. And, you know, someone would just be willing to do something as simple as walk with you a little bit. They might even help. They'd help me.
Right.
Like point something out. Instead of all this, what do you call it? Chatter.
Yeah. Endless chatter.
But he ended up, he said, "Thank you," and wanted to shake my hand. He said, "You're the first person who's patient enough to deal with
it." Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Just talking about being put to the test, just letting our faith be put to the test. There's a man from Beirut that I was talking with this morning that came to the United States to make a better life for himself. And he just really thought highly of the plain people that are well off and prosperous. And he was just talking about how good that was, that they're able to have a nice, honest business and make money and use it for good causes and in a godly way. And after some discussion about this, it kind of became clear to me anyways that the problem with all that is that we're building a wall around ourselves from allowing God to really put us to the test and show us who we really are. And he just, and this man was criticizing poor people in Peru that have to lie and cheat and steal sometimes just to get ahead a little bit. And I just asked him, who in God's eyes would be, who do you think in God's eyes is worse off? A rich man who made a fortune with an honest business that looks, or that, but's looking down at a poor man who has a fraction of what he has, but had to get it by being dishonest once in a while just to get ahead a little bit. Who's worse, the poor man who lied a little bit to get ahead, or the rich man who got it all honestly but's looking down, criticized the poor man for telling a lie to make a little bit more? And he just, he didn't get it, but he's, the real problem is that the poor man, at least he knows what he is. He said, well, they're both sinners. I said, yeah, or not, he didn't say they're both sinners, but he said, the poor guy that has the lies, he's sinning. I said, yeah, he's sinning, but at least you can see who he is. We don't know who we are unless we're put to the test. And he said, well, we're not supposed to be put to the test. We're supposed to pray to God to keep us from temptation. He said, are we supposed to pray that God delivers us from temptation and not get put to the test? And I just thought about it. We don't even have to pray that prayer because we've done so much to protect ourselves from temptation. We're doing such a good job of keeping ourselves from temptation by their nice businesses and the religion they made for themselves that they don't even need to pray that prayer. It's not even necessary that they're not even exposing themselves or making themselves vulnerable to a test or temptation. They don't even need to ask for God to deliver them from temptation. They've done such a good job themselves. Most, we don't even need God sometimes.
All right. Yeah, or even, you don't even have to, wouldn't even have to, the poor man wouldn't even have to be dishonest. He just looked down on because he might have to borrow money to put his corn crop out or something.
And, yeah.
And the rich man won't even loan it to him or won't just give it to him to help him put one crop out. Just and despise him because he'd be in such a pitiful condition or not have managed his money just properly. All right, well, God bless you all.
Rise up, amen.